I'm Marcia.
And I'm Risa.
And today we are going to be talking about It's Okay, That's Love. It's a love story between a psychiatrist and a best-selling mystery novelist who has a troubled past. So first of all, Risa, what did you rate It's Okay, That's Love at?
I had this fairly high. I ranked it at number 7.
Number 7. Okay, so...
Disclaimer.
This is a disclaimer. So, one, it's my... Okay, my rating is 13, but on the rewatch, I realized it was way too low because it's actually an excellent drama and I should have placed it higher. Never fear, folks. I will change my whole rating system by the end of it and I'll post what my new picks are.
So, this show was such an interesting show for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think back, because this is one of the earlier shows I watched, and the pace of it, and then watching recent shows and seeing how their pace is, I'm not sure if I would have stuck around maybe long enough, I find, for this drama. Because I would say that I was kind of, I was coasting through like all 4 episodes,
yes,
and then it reached like this very pinnacle part, and I was like, wait, what? And then I was like drawn in. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like if I was watching this along a new drama that's out right now where like the action happens in episode like 2 or the end of episode 1.
Yeah.
I just watched one recently and someone got hit by a truck at the end of episode 1 and I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I have to keep watching it.
Yeah.
This one, it took me 4 episodes for it to get to a point where I was kind of like, oh, I have to keep watching, I have to binge it.
Yeah, and with me, I enjoyed it from the beginning, but when that pinnacle point happened, I was just like, wow, this is getting interesting. I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will get to that. This drama, I don't know why I rated it so low. I was just like, how did I do this? But
I feel because you watched so much other things.
And I think so. And this is one of the earlier shows that I watched. I mean, before we even started doing the podcast, I had watched this. This is one of the first shows that I had watched. And I just thought that it was an interesting show. And when you rewatched it and said, we should add this to season 1.
Oh, definitely.
I was just like, okay, really good. But I didn't rewatch it again, until
we had to do the recording.
Because I'd already seen it. But it had been, I would say, between 6 or 7 months. So I forgot how good it was. I forgot. That's my disclaimer, folks. I forgot.
It's very quiet.
It's very quiet.
You know what I mean?
What?
I mean, it starts off like it's a very quiet show. Like, there's not a lot, like,
quiet show.
Let me explain what I'm trying to say. I mean, in terms of, like, the drama, it starts off very... it does kind of start off quiet. There's one moment...
Quiet?
Yes, because, like, after the main thing happens. So, we're first introduced to the gentleman leaving jail, right? And everyone's cheering him on, talking about, J-Bum, right?
Yeah.
We see him get released, and then all of a sudden we're thrown into this big party, mm-hmm, that someone's having, celebrating his birthday.
Yes, it's J-Yule.
So he's, mm-hmm, celebrating his birthday. The party's going, it's like a pool party. And then we see the same gentleman that left jail,
Show up at the party,
get a fork.
And stab him!
And stab him!
So that was a quiet beginning for you. That's,
yes, I mean,
that was quiet.
I mean, after that, it got real quiet.
That happened in the first 2 minutes of the show.
But after that, it got really quiet because I was really like interested in what is this scenario. Because then you find out that's his brother.
Yes.
So the gentleman who gets stabbed with the fork decides, I'm not going to press charges on his own brother, who's basically yelling, while he's stabbing him, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you.
So, yeah, I don't know. I
So, yeah.
It did start off with a bang, and then it kind of quieted down.
So, after he gets attacked by his brother, he just kind of, you kind of see it fade out, and then it just does slow down a little bit.
So, that's why I'm just like, I kind of forgot it. I'm not going to lie, I kind of forgot that scene for 2 seconds, and I said, quiet. Mm-hmm. And then you laughed, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that scene. Let me explain my quiet. But yeah, after that little big opening, he kind of slowed down because he, of course, went back to jail.
Yes.
He stabbed someone with a fork.
Yes.
And the only reason he got off because his brother didn't press charges.
Well, the thing is, he was very confident to leave prison just to come and stab his brother. Yes. I think that's why they were making
that was his ultimate goal.
His ultimate goal is to kill his brother.
Yes.
And that's his life goal right now, being in prison, is I'm going to come out and I'm going to stab you with a fork. That's what I want to do with my life. You deserve to die. So you know, that's kind of J-Bum's
I would say
life mission.
His goal is very consistent. He never really changed.
He did not change his goal. He did not.
And really, you know, change. Many people, you know, give up on certain things like that, but yeah. He never changed it. One time he's making this cool like rice, this flour out of rice.
Yes.
And he's telling his friend in jail to, oh, I'm gonna give it to my mom because you know she's gonna be sad when J-Hole dies. So
yeah,
this is a gift for her.
So she won't feel so bad.
And this is all done. And you know how sometimes they have music playing where it's like comical. No, yeah. this is no music like that. This is, he's serious.
One of the things I must say from the jump, from the very beginning, mm-hmm. is the character, the person who's playing the character, J-Bomb. He played crazy.
So well.
In a way that it was not like acting, if that makes any sense. It was just like, no, this guy's just crazy.
Yeah, if I saw him
he's
on the street.
He's not acting crazy. He's crazy.
Yeah, if I saw him on the street, I'm across the street.
It's like this. He did that so well.
I would have been afraid.
It wasn't acting. It didn't feel like acting.
No. If you like, saw that he would stab you with a fork if you said something wrong to him.
He played that character so well, I must say.
So yeah, after that opening, you kind of get thrown into the other characters in this drama. Heisu, who is a psychiatrist.
Yes.
And she works at this hospital, a mental hospital? Or no, she just works at this hospital and she's in the ward, the psychiatric ward. Mm-hmm. And you kind of are taken through like a lot of her clients. And you find out she lives in a share house. But then you're also in that share house, you find out there's an older psychiatrist who has an office that's in that same share house, in that same building.
Yes.
Dongmin. And then she also lives with someone who works at, there's a cafe also below their share house. His name is Su Kwang. And he has a Tourette syndrome.
Yes.
So these are the cast that she lives with.
She lives with a cast of characters.
Their characters.
She's a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Her sonbae is a psychiatrist. And Su Kwang is a patient.
Yes.
And none of them seem 100% whole. Let's just say that.
I will say.
It makes for a very interesting scenario.
Okay, so I first saw the actor who played Dongmin in Reply 1997.
Yes, and love that.
I love the actor's way of, he does this yelling acting, which is so, it's so well done, where he does his volume where he goes really, as it goes really quiet and then starts screaming and it goes kind of quiet again and then like it's so interesting. I love seeing him yell. If I could be in a scene with him to have him just yell at me,
yeah.
And then he speaks so quickly and starts yelling these instructions. He does such a good job of it. So, and I appreciate it. So he has that type of ability or cadence, which I love. Mm-hmm. And his issue is kind of like, he still works and is friends with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, his ex-wife is not quite fully over him.
Yes.
But he's not really helping the separation process, in my opinion. No, she's kind of still attached, and he's allowing her to still stay attached.
Yeah, but he considers her to be a friend.
Yes.
Kind of.
This is the thing, he considers her to be a friend, she still has things that she wants to discuss.
Yeah.
And they're not discussing it. And he's just like, we're friends. And she's just like, well, no, I'm still kind of in love with you, but you're now married. That's a complicated situation that needs to be discussed.
Yeah.
Counseling. And they don't. Eventually, I think they start to talk about it, but he needs to address it more.
Well, the thing is, what you find out in the drama, mm-hmm. that it's you. The, by the way she was acting, you would think it was recent that they broke up.
Oh yeah, how many years again?
I think it's been about 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, it was not yesterday. He's got a new wife. He's got a family, and she's like, "I'm not over you." Like every psychologist in this drama is a little bit off.
Yes. So then also, Heisu, she has this anxiety disorder.
Yes.
Whereas in, she doesn't like to be other guys touch her, kiss her, or like she has never suffered. She's like a virgin, hasn't suffered anyone because of this anxiety she has with attached to it. Her mom.
Yeah.
And her mom cheating.
Yeah. Her mom cheated.
On her.
And she saw on her father when she was very young. She witnessed. Yeah. Kissing another man, and she's been scarred of this.
Yeah,
and so she has a very strange anxiety when it comes to people getting close to her, and certainly not having any sexual kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the point where
she's,
or even kissing, all to of the it. Point where she will sweat, she will freak out, and she just tries to avoid it at all costs. And presently, her boyfriend she's been dating him for almost a year, and she's been
300 days,
and she's been holding him off for all this time, you know, trying not to, you know, get intimate.
Actually,
with
she
him.
Explained the disorder to him.
No, she explained it to him, but you know, he's a man.
Enough said.
Enough said. So she promised him that after 300 days of getting to know him and him getting to know her, that they would be comfortable enough to take their relationship to the next level. So her boyfriend is like counting down to get to day 300.
Okay, do you see the word? She picks up the phone when he says, "Hey, it's been 300 days." Do you see her kind of like roll her eyes like, "Oh gosh, I gotta do this now."
Yeah.
Like she wasn't into it at all. She's not into this guy at all. And this guy, you know what? He is a waste. Because
those are strong words.
He's a waste. Okay, so he works for a TV production company, right? Or a TV station. And there was actually a case where she had to fill in for Dongmin on a show, and she was gonna be on the show with Jae-yul. As a writer, so he does like mystery writing, and I don't know, they had this like panel discussion where they're arguing opposite sides, like a debate.
Yes, they did have a debate, because he writes mystery stories about really violent killings, and she's a psychologist who's trying to tell him that what he's writing about means that he actually has a problem, and he's just like, no, I think it's just natural, like it's just fiction.
Okay, first, I think I missed that connection where she said, where she thinks that because of how he's writing, he actually has a problem.
Yeah.
So that's straight. So she diagnosed him right away.
She diagnosed him at episode one.
She diagnosed him at episode one.
Yeah, she's just like, this is not normal behavior.
Okay.
It's not normal.
You As you keep talking, that's a very important line that she... I miss that she diagnosed him at episode one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he fobs it off, but she did diagnose him. She saw it from the beginning.
Okay.
But wow. the way that the writers do it, they make it seem like she's just really being facetious.
It went over my head too, so it worked. The writers did a good job, because I thought, I was just like, this lady, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
This guy's great. Everyone loves him. But yeah, so he is at the show, and he catches her boyfriend kissing...
Jae-yul catches her.
Yeah, Jae-yul catches her boyfriend kissing... Like a stagehand?
Yeah. Like a PA assistant.
Yes. And later on we find out that assistant is actually friends with Heisu.
Yeah.
Like, the next scene you see her hugging her, welcoming her to the set.
Yes.
And I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, because you were just kissing on her man.
I could not believe
So we
that
have this dynamic. Somebody's afraid of getting intimate with somebody.
Yeah.
And then Jae-yul... who certainly doesn't have any fears where that's concerned or talking about it or anything, notices her current boyfriend with her friend kissing behind stage.
Yes.
So, we gotta set that up.
Actually, okay, so this is also a great scene that I didn't catch at first where... So, I think after the whole shoot happened, you find out that they are actually boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. When he's walking her out, she's leaving.
Yeah.
And, Jehu goes out there and he's kind of, because he's kind of attracted to her. He's trying to get her number. She's kind of flagging him off, like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
And he goes, tells her own boyfriend, he goes, I doubt, he goes, oh, the guy, the production assistant says, well, she has a boyfriend. He goes, I doubt she has a boyfriend. To her own boyfriend, to her, she doesn't have a boyfriend. She's too uptight. I thought it was funny that he was saying like that, said it all confident. Yeah. And then Mommy's just like, look at this loser. She has a boyfriend and it's me. And he's telling his, her own boyfriend that she doesn't have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was funny scene. I found that was funny scene. But yes, so let's set up that whole relationship. Should we jump to the party? The soccer party?
Yes, let's do that.
So we jump to the soccer party, and it's the assistant, the production assistant, her boyfriend, Haesu. And then what happens is Jaewoo goes and lives into the share house of theirs.
Yeah.
He becomes one of their roommates. They have an open room and he comes, becomes a roommate. Dong Min is there. His ex-wife is there. And then Su Kwan, he's there. And everyone's there. They're watching soccer and they have some other friends over. And there's a moment where, you know, like a, it's supposed to be a quote-unquote welcome party for Jaewoo moving into the share house.
It's not a welcome
party. It's not a welcome party because he's the one cooking all the food. Did you notice
that? No. When he comes in, he's like, oh, it's my welcome party, you know, whatever. And they're like,
Dong Min said it.
No.
He told him it's a welcome party.
Did he tell
him? Yes, he and, said it.
But then she gets fooled in from Haesu that, no, we were just here watching soccer. This is not a welcome
party. Yeah, it's such a, he tried to play it off as his welcome party, but yeah, it he really ends up wasn't. Cooking all the food.
Yeah.
He's just in the kitchen, and while he's in the kitchen watching everyone,
he notices.
Su Kwan, yeah, Su Kwan comes over. Yeah, he just kind of notices a guy that he saw kissing the girl on the couch beside him.
Kissing Haesu.
Yes. Yeah. And he's just like, what? And then Su Kwan kind of goes to him and says, oh, yeah, those two are going to get married soon. And he starts to kind of lay out all their history. He's like, I used to, Su Kwan used to date Haesu. Haesu and Dong Min shared their, it was her first kiss.
Yeah.
With her sunbae. The Dong Min and his ex-wife, their ex-wife, this other guy has a crush on this girl. And then he says that, the production assistant has a crush on Haesu's boyfriend. So he lays out all the connections. So it brings Jaewoo to think, oh, wow, so you guys just mix it up.
That's
you guys kiss do. And hang out. You kiss each other.
Like, that's how you do it.
And then Su Kwan is like, oh, yeah, yeah. So when Haesu comes into the kitchen, he goes, oh, I never knew you're so generous. She's like, what are you talking about? He goes, I didn't know you shared your boyfriend with your friend right there. And she goes, wait, what? She goes, yeah, yeah, I saw them kissing on the day of our show.
Yeah, backstage, they were kissing, those two.
Those two, right there, yeah. And so she walks, okay, first of all, I love how she did that.
I loved this.
She, you can explain it then.
So she's just like, really? She walks into the middle of the soccer match, she turns the TV off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, whoa, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And she's just like, hey, I can't remember her name, but basically she's like, did you kiss my man?
Girl speechless.
Yeah.
Nothing like, to say.
And he can't deflate it, whatever. And then she starts talking about, but he loves me and I love him. And she's like, oh, it's not going down. Like
no, that. I think the best part is she doesn't say this. She just walks away. And all you hear is like Dong Min, all her roommates, and Su Kwan is just like, wait, what? Everything, the party's broken up, people are leaving.
People are leaving, like, it's time to go.
Then Dong Min and Su Kwan are beating up her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then Jaewoo was kind of like, he didn't understand what was happening because he thought they were actually sharing this man.
Do you think he really thought they were
sharing?
I think he honestly asked him.
He's
just being a jerk.
No, I. Okay. So you think he's being a jerk? I don't.
He was just like, huh. You're with him, but he was clearly with her. And I like you, so I'm just going to let you know about it in front of everybody.
Okay, I didn't take it as that at all. I really honestly thought, after he heard from Su Kwan about how they all were like, kissed each other.
He just thought they were cool about it.
And he asked them, he goes, wait, so you guys just hang out and, like, just kiss each other? He asked him that question, and he goes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he laughs, I think, a little bit. It made him think that, oh, it's true. And then he kind of goes, okay, I guess that explains it. Mm-hmm. So when she came in, he was kind of, I think he was like ripping her a little bit, like, oh, I didn't know you shared your boyfriend, like you and your boyfriend, you let your boyfriend roll that way, but were you like, yes, he's sharing his lips with other people? I honestly didn't think he thought it was going to blow up to that, because then he wouldn't have went in to try and stop the fighting, where he got beat up. I learned the rule from this is that
don't get in the way.
Or if you're going to get in the way of a fight, let it go on for a little bit until they get tired, and then step in. He stepped in right away. He got kicked in his private part, right? Then he got punched in the face. He should have waited. Just waited like about 2 minutes.
But I did think he did that to be a jerk.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's why they were extra mad and that they were ignoring him. I think it was less of the fact that he was a whistleblower and more of the fact that she thought he was being
suspicious. I totally thought it was him. They thought he was a whistleblower. I thought that's what it was. Because, you know, they always get in trouble. Mm-hmm. When you're always the one giving the person the news. The bad news. You're always seen as like, oh, it's your fault. And you're just like, I was just informing you of what I saw.
Yeah. She didn't have to shut down the whole match. She kind of did all that. Yeah. She could have took that news and talked to him privately. But no, it was
so going really down. Think,
like, she brought it out to the open.
Yeah, she brought on that brawl because she knew what was going to happen. Yeah. She knows those two boys are going to go throw down for her. She did. She just walked away. She's like, I'm going to leave this little seed. Oh, you seeing that this happened? We're finished. Walked away and allowed her two roommates to try and beat him up. So, yeah, for sure. I thought it was like,
but it was really interesting to me because this guy was so hyped about talking about 300 days. And
after we saw all that, and kissing some girl.
And he's fully, you know, cheating on her with some girl. Her friend, no less.
And you know,
and they're sitting in her house watching soccer together.
Yes, like it's nothing. Like it's nothing. No big deal.
Yeah.
He's waste. Yeah. That's why I say he's waste. Yeah. And then he had the nerve to try and put it on the girl saying, oh, she kissed me.
Oh, yeah.
She was throwing herself at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the clip I saw, I think that was consensual.
She didn't have to do very much through it at all. He was just like, oh, it's not the time for that. And she's like, oh, this is really calm. He's like, all right. That's pretty much what I saw.
I saw that, too. I think one of my favorite moments. So they start freezing him out. And while they're freezing him out, like, he'll come into the room to watch TV. They'll leave the room. And then I think at one moment, Jesus is like, oh, we should kick him out. I think we should vote and we should kick him out.
Why were they so upset? All they did was tell them the truth.
That's what I'm saying.
I think they took that too far.
They took it way too far because they took it so far that he was kind of like, okay, it was okay for a little bit, for 2 days. But now it's going on a week and now you're going to say you're going to kick me out? And then he drops the bomb and says, well, guess what? You're fired from the cafe because guess what? I own it. Actually, I own this whole building. Hey, you have no office. You got to move your office.
And you guys have no place to live.
And you guys have no place to live. You're all kicked out.
Yeah. And so they were like, oh my gosh. And so you see, Jesus has this really fiery temper and she just says things and does things.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting that news that he owns the whole building, Dongman was just like, look.
He's the only one who knew. And that's why he was trying to tell her, like, yo, calm down. Relax. And she wasn't listening.
Yeah.
And he's just like, see, I told you. And then one of them said, your brother, doesn't he owe you some money? Go ask to borrow money from him. And he goes, oh, you want me to call my brother? He called his brother. He's like, hey, what's going on?
The brother is the brother on the other line saying, no, don't call him for money. Don't call him for blah, blah, blah.
Don't call me no money. You owe me money. You borrowed money last time.
And he's just like, funny. Oh, you can see that we're not really very close relationship right now.
I couldn't believe how long it took her to apologize. Like, you were about to be kicked out on the street.
She was very, very stubborn.
Really stubborn.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, he really didn't do anything that was wrong. You know? But she just really... I think she took her anger out on this guy, the whistleblower.
Absolutely did.
But he didn't do anything that was wrong.
We're calling him a whistleblower.
He was. He told them what went down.
That's true. You're right, but... I don't think it's funny. The whistleblower.
He was. But he did it for his own benefit, because he liked her.
Yes, okay. No, I really...
Imagine the scene. You're just coming from this show. You say, she can't have a man. You find out that this douche is her man, And you're just like, and he, I saw him with her. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to magnet. I'm going to fix this. Because I like her for life. He was very confident.
I have to disagree. I really feel that he thought they were, like, swingers. I think he thought they were, like, a swinger.
But regardless that, before he knew any of that, he liked her. And he was trying to
make
her.
Yes, correct.
Up. Yeah.
Yes, correct. But I really felt that it was a swingers situation. Wow. Because even the way he said it was just like, oh, yeah. Like, it wasn't, it was like, matter of fact, he's still cooking. He's saying, like, well, you know you guys work that way. Cutting up lettuce. Uh-huh. You know, putting things in. She's really talking about it. Like, you know, you shared your boyfriend with this girl. I saw
him
kissing.
But the way that he spoke to her about it, it was like he was being, like, a joke, like a facetious.
Yes, he thought it was funny because he thought that's what they did. So he was kind of, like, teasing her. That's why I took it. I took it like
teasing her. I didn't
take
it like that at all. I thought he was really trying to be a jerk.
First of all, I don't know if he... If that was how he was trying to do...
Not a malicious jerk, but still a jerk. Like, oh, is that your man? Oh, I didn't know you allow your man to kiss your friend. Kiss on the girl. No, kiss your friend.
Yeah.
Those two sitting on the couch, they kiss each other. I saw them, like, at the show. That's you don't allow that. You didn't know that. And she's like, what? He's like, oh,
yeah. I think he was honestly, he thought it was a real thing.
Well, okay.
You have really to disagree. K-drama listeners, like, let us know. Oh. I really think that's what the case was. He thought... He was honestly, this was like ribbing her. I don't think he was trying to do it to
who ribs somebody about their boyfriend.
When you find out
another girl,
when you just heard some from someone else, when you just heard from Su Kwan about how, oh yeah, we kissed everyone. Everyone's kissed everyone in this group. We've been together. First kiss with
well,
this
I
person.
Well, I guess that seems weird.
It's weird. So he's just like, I didn't know you did stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think it was based off of something she did in her that she said to him during their debate that really kind of said. Oh, you sound like a hypocrite. Like, why would you do allow this to happen? Blah, blah. I feel like that's how it was. It wasn't, he wasn't trying to get advancements. Because I don't know if that would really work. If he did it maliciously, try and get her after, she would be like, you tried to hurt me. That's not cool. On purpose. I think it was accidental. That's my whole point.
All right.
We'll agree or disagree, but I think it was accidental.
Disagree. I think he was being a bit of a jerk. He was very smirky about it. He was very, very
He looked really concerned after, though, when she turned off the TV. You see his face? He's kind of just like, what's
no,
going on?
I think he was concerned because he didn't know that she would react that way. If he did, he might have told her later or something like that. He didn't know she was going to shut down the match full of people, of guests and everything, at my so-called welcome party, and tear it down like that. He's like, this girl's a, you know, a force.
Okay, you know one thing I didn't understand? Was why did his friend, like, backstab him and give away his like, book, his manuscript?
Well, Taeyang, who is his BFF, we find out that he had a, Jae-yul had a writer who he has broken up with since he found out that she plagiarized his book, and the books came out at the same time. Now, the reason why... Taeyang gave the book to the girl is because he was sleeping with the girl. He liked the girl. And she convinced him to
give Wait, hold on. I totally missed that part. She was sleeping with the both friends?
She was sleeping with Taeyang.
I didn't know that part.
Yes.
I must have, what did I see?
I you were that. Waiting for episode 4. You missed a lot of things.
I must have been waiting for episode 4. I was just kind of like, coming.
He was sleeping with her. And it was under the premise that, you know, they could be together. Because even though Jae-yul was this writer and he's charismatic and he's gorgeous and all of these things, he had quite a lot of quirky things. And he wasn't really spending that much time with her. And Taeyang, not as charismatic, liked her. And they used each other.
Okay. Because I didn't get that.
Did you hear him mention a part where he said if they wanted her to meet the... He was supposed to meet the girl's family and everything like that, but she wasn't too sure because of how they met and everything. Yeah, so they had a relationship. It wasn't just that he gave her the book. He gave her the book because he liked her and they were sleeping together.
I missed
they
that
had a whole
entirely.
Separate relationship going on, yeah.
Okay, because for the whole time I was kind of like, why did he do that? I must have like went to go get a drink of water and then came back and then, yeah. Hey, what's going on?
So I don't know if he was really... If she was really that serious about him or if she just wanted to, you know, use him. They don't explain that, but they had a relationship.
Okay. I knew that her and Jaewoo had a relationship. I did not
her know. Her and Jaewoo were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, and then but she had Taeyeon on the side.
Was on the side. This is a side dish.
Did you see? I love the scene where he's hanging from the window.
OMG. That was so funny.
That was so funny.
So Jaewoo comes to confront this girl for stealing his book, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you can't prove it. She's still trying to act like this book is hers. And she's like, oh, well, we came up with these thoughts together because we were dating.
She knows she has a nerve to say, oh, if you only read my work, this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
You steal it? What are you talking about?
Yeah. And that nobody would know. Nobody's going to know why they're going to be. He's just like, what happens on page 63, let's say. And he could recite everything that he wrote. And he's like, oh, you don't know that part because I submitted that after he gave you that the manuscript. That was something I wrote later. So that's how he knows.
So he suspects because when he gets into his car that Taeyong borrows.
Yeah.
It has hurt his girlfriend's home address.
Yes.
And I think two scenes before, Taeyong said, oh, I don't know where she lives.
Yes.
So he's kind of like, I didn't put it into the GPS because I know where she lives.
And he sees her car, his car.
And he sees his car.
Outside.
And also because that's the person he gave that manuscript to.
Yes, but he wouldn't think for 100 years that his best friend would have a manuscript.
No.
Especially because he's been working with him for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, he did it though. I was surprised that he actually stayed friends with him after.
That was shocking. I love how he messed up that car.
But, like, that funny scene that you were talking about is when he hears Jaewoo coming in, he hides on the balcony. And when he exits the building, he's still hanging off of the balcony, mm-hmm. and he looks up beneath him.
Yeah, after damaging. So he comes out, sees his car, and takes, like, a golf club to it.
And starts banging it.
Bang. I always want to, like, do that to a car.
I can do that too.
That'd be kind of cool. What
does the car do?
No, like, I just don't know. A junkyard or something, like not someone's car where I'm destroying.
Just smash
a car.
I just think that glass might splash in heaven.
I wear goggles. I'm coming prepared to smash a car. I'm gonna be protected.
All right, go for it. But he does this whole smash thing, and it's really great, right? It's absolutely great. So we're seeing that. Okay, I got stabbed by my brother. My girlfriend stole my book. My mm-hmm. best friend cheated on me and gave the girl my book. You know, he's had a tricky couple of years. A very tricky couple of years.
Yes.
And then he moves in to this house filled with lunatics.
We can't call them lunatics.
Oh. Eccentric people?
Yes.
Lunatics.
No, eccentric people.
Very different personalities. Everybody's a little bit crazy, okay? In my opinion. They're a little bit off. Everybody's off. The shrinks
they're,
are off.
They're eccentric. That's how I'm calling them. For sure.
Eccentric. Yeah. What is eccentric?
They're out there. They're in their own world.
Okay.
They move to a beat of their own drum.
Yeah. They're just a little bit off. They're a little bit off. Everybody is very special. So he moves into this house with them. And even though they try to at first push him away, he integrates very well with this group of people.
Yeah, all he does is sit down and read books. Like, he doesn't do much. Okay, there's a scene that always happens where he's in the kitchen and he's using like a soda stream.
Yes.
And I guess it comes out with club soda or something. He's always pouring himself a glass, and every time he goes to drink that glass, someone one of his roommates comes and takes the glass from him and drinks it.
Yeah.
I was like, he's like, hey, he puts up with that. Like, he doesn't say anything. You often see him get angry, is what I'm saying.
No, you don't really see him get angry.
But he does say a line where he goes, whatever you do to me, I'll do to you. So there's one scene where he's pouring her a glass of wine, she throws the wine in his face.
Oh, I thought that was fantastic.
It was great when
And she slams the door.
Yeah, and then he knocks on the door, she opens it, he throws the wine back in her face.
Yeah, and he's like, whatever you do, I'm gonna do right back to you. It was great because she wasn't expecting it.
No.
She was expecting to be sassy and just people just take it. He's like, I ain't taking that.
I'm not taking your sass. I'm not taking your sass.
Already he was a better match than her ex-man. Oh, it was just a mess.
Okay, there's a scene where he gets a call. So he gets a call. He gets calls from his mom often who he's always listening to music with her, right? I guess to calm her down. And then he's also always getting calls from his brother who's in jail.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he picks up the phone and he calls his brother, just like, hey, when I get to jail, I'm going to stab you with a fork. And then he goes, let's have a drink when you come out. And he's talking about how, oh, I love you too. This is him talking about his brother who's threatening over the phone.
Yeah. I love you.
This is what kept me on, I think, until the fourth episode.
Yeah.
Seems like this where I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why are you saying I love you? Your brother just stabbed you with the fork 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're saying, like, let's have a drink first.
Let's have a drink.
Before you attempt to stab me, let's just have a drink and just chat.
I love you. And it really just shows, it makes you seem at that moment that he's so normal and his brother is, like, crazy, right? That's what you, like, his brother, like, who calls a brother and says, I'm going to stab you with a fork? Like, you're not all together there, you know what I mean?
And then
not to mention, you already stabbed me with a fork. You're coming back to stab me again?
Yeah, he wants to stab him again. He wasn't successful the with first time.
Why with a fork?
It has a lot of prongs, and it's great to pierce the skin. He's probably thinking, like, yeah, our bodies are kind of like pieces of chicken.
Wow.
It can hit the flesh really nicely. Wow. I have no clue, but he decides to use a fork as his choice of weapon.
Yeah.
He never uses a knife. It's always a fork. There's actually a scene where, so his brother gets out, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where he attacks him, and someone asks him about, your brother attacked you. You should be calling the cops. And he goes, listen, my brother's harmless. He's like, I'm not dead. Like, he could have stabbed me in my neck or my heart. He could have stabbed me somewhere where I would have been dead, but he didn't.
He just stabbed me in my shoulder.
It was just my shoulder. It's fine. He's harmless.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
It's my brother.
It was around this time that I started going, okay, I don't know how well this gentleman is. I wasn't sure if he was just trying to placate or someone told him that, hey, when your brother calls you and he's saying he wants to stab you with a fork, you just stay as calm as possible. I'm not sure if he was instructed by a psychiatrist to help with his brother's psychosis. And I don't know. But when I kept seeing that, I was like, that's not a normal reaction to go and tell him about how you want to have drinks. He just said he was going to attack you and assault you. And then the response is like, oh, I love you. I love you. I love mm-hmm. you too. Like, he thinks that line is him saying, I love you.
Yeah.
I love you too.
Yeah. Another really interesting thing I thought about, just the way that it was framed, you really get to see these characters come to life, but it's also very, like, in a situation. And I was just like, I really like the way that they do the narrative of the story and how they do the storytelling. And when I checked into the writers of it, it's the same, I believe it's the same writer or the same director as the person who directed Liv, which we recently
rewatched. Okay.
Yeah, and it has that same kind of effect in how they tell the stories of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
They also work with the same actors, because the actor who plays Su Kwan and Dong Min are both in the...
Yes.
That's very interesting.
So, there's another interesting character that appears by the name of So Neo. And she also has an issue that they call, what do they call it? A behavioral problem? Conduct disorder.
Conduct disorder.
So, she basically kind of does whatever she wants, and she does things unconventionally. She doesn't behave herself, but she can't control it, or she chooses not to control it. I don't know what a conduct disorder is. So she just kind of says what's on her mind, and she kind of does whatever she thinks, and she doesn't really think about the repercussions of what that might mean. So So Neo and Su Kwang have a bit of a history where she's always getting him to buy her stuff, and he just kind of does it because he likes her, and she kind of uses him in that way. But, you know, so they're always getting together and breaking up. But he's very distraught at the fact that she's seeing another man, or she's seeing... But he likes her. The actress who plays So Neo, I absolutely love her. She's amazing.
She was great.
She's great when she's in the trap. So she's a fantastic character actress.
So this was the first time, I think the first time, the first role I saw her in. And she was really excellent. And
we talked about this on Weightlifting Fairy Kim Book Ju, that she has so much, she's great
acting. Range.
Yeah.
Range.
I've seen her play at least 5 different characters, and they're all different characters.
Yeah.
None of them were, like, similar to the other.
Yeah.
Though, so, I think she's in Trap, she played someone with some type of, she had a disorder as well, or a mental disorder as well.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I think it was like a more severe form of this conduct disorder.
Yes, it was a hopped up conduct disorder 2.0.
Yes.
But, so she comes into the scene where she's sitting out, standing outside of a convenience store, trying to find somebody old enough to go buy her cigarettes. So she comes across Jay Yule, who she tells him, go buy me cigarettes, and he comes out with a bag, and she's like, oh, I got him to do what I want. And when she opens a bag, it's like milk. So she gets very annoyed, but she's very interested in this opa.
That was great. I thought, you know what? I thought, I was just like, don't go buy her. I was like, why is he about to do that?
Yeah.
And when she opened the bag and saw the milk, I'm like, okay, that's great. Because he sure didn't spend her money to go buy her some milk.
Yeah. Like, this is what you need to do with your time. Mm-hmm. But it was so interesting. And she kind of barges her way into the scene, into their house, into their lives, really. And but you get to find out that she's also one of Dongmen's patients.
Yes, he has a lot of patients.
He has a lot of patients, right? So I don't know if she met Su Kwang in therapy or what the deal is, but just that they knew each other before mm-hmm. then.
Okay, so there's another story. So I think to get back in Jaewoo's good graces, Taeyong, well, I guess they've been friends for a long time that he actually calls Jaewoo's mother mom.
Yeah.
Right? And I guess to help her, he asked Dongmin if he could help him, see a patient for him. Like,
yeah.
Help someone who's in jail, help him work out. I'm friends with his mom. I call his mom, and I just want you to talk to him and help him out.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. That's what the
preface is. He's a good guy. And then there's a moment where Dongmin goes over his history. He goes, wait, but didn't he attack someone? And he goes, but that was a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Everything's a misunderstanding with this gentleman.
Yeah.
But every time we see J-Mom, he does look like he's instigator in all of it.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So there's a moment where they're out and then he's doing like a session with J-Bum in jail. And J-Bum he's telling him about how there's this type of serum that you can take. There's like a truth serum.
Yeah.
That's what he calls it. And the actual medical name for it, or chemical name for it, mm-hmm. I can't remember, but it's like a truth serum. And he's like, I wish my mom and my brother could take that truth serum, because every doctor who's seen him just thinks that he is, he's delusional, or he's not taking the fact that his crime seriously. Like, he denies his crime, so you're not getting better if you're denying your crime.
Yeah.
You don't even agree you did it.
Yeah.
So a lot of doctors are always kind of like, I'm not seeing
him. I'm surprised he was in a regular prison and not in, like, a mental prison.
Well,
based on his behavior?
Based on his behavior. But what happens is he went to jail really young. And I think what happened is because they were making an example out of him, you mm-hmm. find out that the judges were a little harder on him and used him as an example. I usually hate that. He was in jail, should have been something like self-defense or something like that.
Yeah.
And
2 or 3 years.
For 2 or 3 years. And he ended up being, what, for over 10?
Yeah.
Years in jail. So I guess that's another reason why I think everyone wants to try and help him. Because you're like, you got a raw end of the stick, man. Like, you weren't supposed to be in here for this long.
No.
And you're in jail for this long. So it's like he wants, like, you find that he's so obsessed with having his mom and his brother tell the truth. Because he's like, he believes, or he keeps telling everyone that it wasn't me. I did not kill my stepfather. It was my brother.
Yeah.
Right? He keeps saying, it's my brother. And I was just like, there's no way it was your brother. Your brother was like 8 at that point in time.
Yeah.
It wasn't him. And he's like, no, it is. It was him. And he's been in jail this whole time. His hair's gone gray due to stress.
Yeah.
Like a full,
completely gray.
Completely gray due to stress. And the stress is basically around this whole, his mom, his mother and his brother lied on him. and have sent him to jail for all these years for something he didn't do. And that's the story he keeps spinning. Mm-hmm. And you as the audience are kind of watching this. You're like, hey, J-Bomb, you know the first time I saw you, you stabbed someone with a fork. So yeah. You're kind of like doubting it.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's so pressing this so much, I started to doubt. When I was watching the first time, I was kind of like, wait, there must be something about this guy. Like, why does he keep insisting that his brother is the killer? And then, there's a big reveal around this character, named Kang Woo.
Yeah.
So, Kang Woo, we first see Kang Woo after,
at the birthday party.
At the birthday party, when Jae-woo got stabbed.
Yeah.
We see, Kang Woo there.
And he's just an adoring fan for the writer. Yeah. He also wants to be a writer. Mm-hmm. So we see Kang
Woo. He's like in high school, right?
Yeah, he's like in high school. So we periodically see Kang Woo coming to speak to Jae-woo and to get advice about writing and just to talk to him about some of the personal problems he's having, and they develop this friendship.
Yeah, because apparently he lives in a household where
he's getting abused.
He's getting abused, his mom's getting abused.
Yeah.
And he's always having writing something and asking Jae-woo to read his writing. So we're just his character, and they have this like weird bond and friendship where he like would take him to his friends, to his family's house. They would talk often, talk on the phone. He had his number, and then something quite amazing happened in the fourth episode. We noticed that so Kang Woo tells Jae-woo about a girl he likes,
yeah,
and they go to his house, and he goes, "Oh, let me help you get your girl." So he goes to her house, throws a rock at her window, and the girl opens the window. She's like, "Hey, what's down there?" And you see Jae-woo talking about how, "Oh, Kang Woo, he likes you. And it's a cute, adorable scene, right?
Him and Kang Woo run off. And they're running down the street, and they're laughing.
Hysterically, like having such a ball. Like,
yeah, he's like, "Oh, when you see her next time, now you can approach her. Mm-hmm. She knows your name now.
Yeah.
She knows who you are." And then you see them running, and then you see the camera start to pan.
Yeah, it's just on Jae-woo for a little bit, right?
Yeah, just on Jae-woo for a little bit.
And it pans out,
and then you're like, "Where's Kang Woo? Whoa, Kang Woo, where did he go?"
Yeah.
And then you realize for the first time, oh my gosh, there is no Kang Woo.
There's no Kang Woo!
So, Heisoo's original assessment of him, that he was... There's something wrong with him. Yeah.
I totally missed that she diagnosed him right away. You know what? Later on, I make note about the fact that I think she's a bad psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Okay. She's a bad psychiatrist. Like, yeah. Or she's so good that she doesn't know how good she is and makes her a bad psychiatrist. Yeah. She dismissed it entirely. She diagnosed him.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to dismiss it.
Yes.
He has an invisible friend. A young boy.
Haven't you had an invisible friend?
No.
Oh, I had one when I was in high school. His name was Vincent. Oh, he would appear every now and again. He didn't have one.
Okay, this is remember the show Harvey with Jimmy Stewart with that big invisible rabbit. Okay.
We used to do it because we were bored in class. We would make things up, and Vincent would come in.
You actually could see?
No, I couldn't see.
No, him. You couldn't
just,
see him.
It was just a running gag.
Okay, anyways.
But Kang Woo was a very real person.
Right? To him, yes, very real.
Yeah.
And the show kind of introduced, so because you're seeing a psychiatrist working in the psych ward of this hospital, you're introduced to all these different psych patients.
Yeah.
So one of the more recent ones was a lady who had an invisible baby. And she's playing with this invisible baby, and she had all the doctors say hi to this invisible baby. One of the interns kind of was like, "Why did we say hi to the invisible baby?" And then everyone kind of turns to him and goes, "We all saw the baby. You didn't see the baby? And he's kind of like, "No, it's invisible, right?" And someone's like, "You got a lot to learn."
Because they're trying to show from the patient's perspective.
That's what you have to do. Yes.
You have to look at things from their perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was the question. Was very, very real.
Very real to Jae-woo.
But he was very, very real to me, too, until I saw the camera pan out.
Yeah, for the first four episodes.
I was like, "Oh my gosh, he's not there."
I think I stood up and I was watching it laying down, kind of like, "Oh, they're running in the street, okay." And I'm like, "Wait a second, why is he's the one running in the street?" And then I sat up and I said, "Wait, he's invisible?" And the This is why it was ranked as number 7 on my list. This pivotal moment.
Yeah.
And then I kept watching it like, I cannot believe he's invisible.
Yeah.
Because earlier on, too, as well, they go out to a concert and they meet a friend of theirs who's married to this woman, and she has schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And he's like, and they kind of expose the fact that he's looking at him, he's just like, wait, she has schizophrenia? She looks normal. She looks fine.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I guess, redefine what you people think is normal, what they think mental health looks like.
Yes.
And, which is great, the show does that a lot, where it's like, you don't know what mental health looks like. Mm-hmm. And everyone on a little bit has something mentally unstable about them sometimes. Or
yeah.
They're really close to becoming like that.
Yeah.
The incident has to happen.
Yes.
Because with the invisible baby incident,
she lost her baby. She lost her child, yeah.
In a short time, she left. Her husband was sleeping, I think. She left, she went to store, she came back, her baby was burnt.
Yeah.
From the kettle.
Yeah.
And she lost her baby. So then she brought on this imaginary baby.
Yeah.
There have been some cases where people have phantom pregnancies, whereas in, like, their belly's getting bigger, but they've lost a child.
Yeah.
So the mind is it's a very powerful thing in your body.
Oh, totally.
Right? Organ. Very, very powerful. It can control, it can make you think things are there that are not there. Like, certain people have phantom limbs.
Yeah.
Where, like, their mind makes them think that they have this limb, or they feel it, like, it's scratching, like, it's itching.
Yeah.
It's not really there. So, like, this kind of, and that's why another reason why I have it as number 7. This show kind of showed me about, preconceptions about what people think about mental health.
Yeah.
And
this show was excellent.
Excellent at, like, this turning on its head. And like, that's what I thought, and that's not at all what it
and
is.
And I've not seen a show like that.
Yes.
There's one scene where they make reference to One Flew Over the Nest. Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't never seen that movie. I know who's in it.
Yeah. And they talk about a certain scene, and basically what happens in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is that he goes into a mental institution because he doesn't want to go to real jail, so he pretends to be crazy.
Mm.
So he ends up going into a mental institution, having these preconceived notions of what is sane and what is not sane,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up being one of the most insane people there.
So he was rightfully put into the...
He was rightfully... put into because it makes you think about what is sane and what is not sane,
uh-huh.
and so it shows people who have these really mental issues. But as he was in there getting to know them and stuff like that, he started to really understand that these people are people and they just have this issue that they have to work through. But look, we're all working through it.
Yeah,
so it was very interesting.
Yeah, the show did a good job of doing that.
Yeah, you should get watch that movie if you really did.
You know what? When I think back, I don't think I've ever seen a lot of Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah. He's the man. He was Joker. Because I love Batman, so I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it as Joker. What else did I see? The Departed, the movie that made me go, I like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
Which is what's the one where he was in Helen Hunt? I forget that one's called. The romantic comedy.
As Good as It Gets.
As Good as It Gets. I think that's it. I don't see him a lot in movies.
But that's a really great one.
I've seen people reference it a lot. And mm-hmm. Did he get an award for that one?
He did. And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, was paying for the patient, has some really amazing actors. Danny DeVito played the patient.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's
some,
so perfect.
And some other people that you know. Just an aside, but yeah, great film.
Yeah, but the moment that it was revealed that Kang was invisible, the whole show changed. It's changed. It totally changed. Like, I was just kind of, like, coasting, just watching it, like, okay, yeah. Funny moments.
Uh-huh.
Little funny comedic moments. I'm like, haha, that's funny. Yeah. Like, we got in a fight, and they're running away from the fight. Dongmin is, like, how he ran was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
It was, and when we were, he's fighting, this old man trying to fight, taking off his shirt, trying to fight these young dudes.
Yeah.
One guy looks like he's lifting, he just came from the gym lifting weights, and he's trying to take off his shirt to fight him.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of comedic moments, but when that reveal happened, I looked at the show totally different. And then what I loved, how the show just carried on, as if they didn't show us that.
Yeah.
So it got me doubting, like, wait, was I supposed to realize that already? I wasn't sure, because they carried on like, we're just gonna keep going. We're just gonna keep telling the story. And then this invisible guy is just going to be there. So he's going to start keep talking to him on the phone. And you as a viewer watching him on the phone with no one. And this moment where someone will say, oh, did the phone ring? And he's like, yeah, you didn't hear it?
And the thing is, up until that point, you didn't even notice it because he's just talking on the phone.
Yeah.
But when you start to think about it, it's just like, well, who is he talking to? What was he doing all this time? You know?
Yeah.
And they're just little slight things that people just never picked up on.
Never picked up on.
Or they're just like, wait, what's
going on? Or just the phone ring.
And they just leave it alone because, to just look at him, he looked normal.
And a lot of the times when he's seeing Kang Wu, it's him by himself. Like, yeah. There's one moment where he goes, oh, hey, Sue, I want you to meet Kang Wu. And then she goes to meet with him. And he's like, oh, he must be late. Let me call him. And then he'll walk away. And all of a sudden, Kang Wu will be there. And then you're kind of like, he's like, oh, you're supposed to meet us across the street. Why are you meeting us here?
Yeah.
And then he carries on this alone conversation with Kang Wu. He goes to the hospital saying about, oh, I got to bring Kang Wu to the hospital. I got to check him out. He got hurt.
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, who's this Kang Wu? Oh, you must be really close to Kang Wu. It's just like, yeah, it's just kind of like somebody we're friends.
Okay, we're going to have to stop here for today because if you're like us, you're probably in the middle of watching another K-drama.
Don't forget to visit our website, D2BConcerto.com, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at D2BConcerto.
Until next time, miss you, miss you.
Miss you, miss you.